Wrestling Live, and this is always, I used to grow up watching Johnny Carson, the tape videos from my dad, so this is being live like this. It's exciting. So we're going to start tonight's live taping of Laws, Rules, and Government Services for December 18th, 2023 at 3:30 p.m. We're joined by myself, Legislators Gavaris, Levine, Rita Rock, and Chair Bartosz. We also have Comptroller Gallagher and Deputy Executive LaValle and other guests. I'll call the meeting to order. Can I get a motion to approve the 12th, 18th, and November 9th?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. So before us are the resolutions for tonight's December 18th legislative session and the special session before us on Thursday. Can I get a motion to discuss Resolution 652?
I'll move it.
Can I get a second?
Second.
So just a reminder, this was posted last month at the request of the county clerk, but now it is ready with 100% state grant funding. Any comments or questions? I told the clerk I didn't think it was necessary for her or staff to be here tonight.
I agree.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Passes unanimously. Motion to discuss 691.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? Questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Resolution 719, motion to discuss.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? My notes have that compliance officer Gibney has advised the Health Committee that the New York State Office of the Medicaid Inspector General provided compliance program guidance which drove these changes. He stated that failure to have a quote-unquote effective compliance program could result in a $10,000 a month fine.
Nothing the Omega Life better than finding people, so I say adopt it.
I agree. All those in favor? Comptroller Gallagher?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a couple comments on this. Began an audit of this corporate compliance program about 6 weeks ago. We just got the reply documentation on Friday, and we'll be going through that. So we'll be back to you with recommendations. I'm not urging you to delay your vote today, but I wanted to speak to a couple of issues, particularly in this compliance documentation that's provided. I find it very concerning that the Corporate Compliance Committee of the county does not have legislative representation on it and does not have any connection to the internal audit function in the Comptroller's office. And I think if you look to other counties, best practices would state otherwise. The committee is supposed to be independent, and right now everyone on the committee is an appointment by the county executive. But I just want to note to you, like, some of the, I'm going to read a bullet or two to you to explain why I'm concerned. One of the responsibilities of a corporate compliance auditor or a corporate compliance officer is ensuring that the county conducts internal audits to monitor effectiveness of compliance standards. I'm sorry, if you're going to be doing internal audits, we'd like to be a part of that. We'd like to be having conversation on that and exchanging documentation on that point. And a second thing that comes to mind is, of course, affected individuals who believe they've been subject to retribution, retaliation, and or intimidation for reporting a compliance concern or for the good faith participation in the compliance program shall report the actions to the compliance officer. So I feel like there's like a circular feedback loop there that really should be unpacked. And I'm going to be urging in the coming future, once our audit is done, that we really look at bringing this program into alignment with best practices. So I just wanted to say that I'm definitely not urging that you delay, because this is something that can be changed over time and should be. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's say the Gavaris and Chair Bartosz.
I agree that we need to have legislative representation on the compliance committee. I was going to say that also, but I also don't agree you should be holding this up. In general, to the comment folks made, that's normally where people reporting things do report it to the compliance officer. They're supposed to be an independent person, but they also should be reporting out to the legislature or one of the committees of the current.
Thank you. Chair Bartosz?
Yeah, so because of changes at the state level, the compliance, this was the first year that the head of compliance started to conduct at least quarterly meetings with chair of the legislature, and I always had our clerk with me for those meetings. One of the things that came up at those meetings was exactly what the comptroller is referencing, just the idea of having legislative representation actually in the corporate compliance meetings. Because this was sort of the first time that there was any deeper discussion about what goes on. For years we were getting, and I know the minority leader, having been chair, would confirm this as well, we'd get these reports that basically would say that there was a corporate compliance meeting and they went into executive session and they came out of executive session. That's the whole, that was the whole of the understanding. So I did speak with the county executive about having legislative representation on it, and she was very receptive to it. I think that the next, it'll be up to the next legislative body to actually not only make that happen, but memorialize it in a way that's not just an internal understanding, but a policy. You know, I won't be here, but I think the comptroller is bringing up some, it's not even concerns, but best practices, which I think, there's no, we need to move this tonight, but it's good that this is going to be continued to be looked at. I would say that it was a big difference this year, even just starting to have the conversations with the division.
Good points. Anyone else? We'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving on to Resolution 553, motion to discuss.
I'll move it. Second.
Discussion. I mean, I don't think this is ready to move. We've had discussions asked that we entertain a motion to postpone for the future legislature.
Well, we just take no action.
Oh, we can take no action?
Yes.
Yep.
No we'll action? Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. We'll take no action.
No.
Moving on to Resolution 758, motion.
I'll move it. Second.
Discussion.
I like it.
Yeah, I think this is a good
need
step
referendum, but
yeah. But it moves
to vote for next year.
It moves the legislature, I think, in a better position for future vacancies. And hopefully no one will have to go through what we've had to go through with vacancies.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, hopefully we're not dealing with
future
vacancies.
Exactly. Long, healthy terms.
Visiting Angels is an important organization to work for.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. 759, motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion.
Proud to vote for this. I'm glad that Legislator Ravine brought it up.
Yeah, proud to.
It was all Chris Allen's idea in the first place.
Proud to give former legislator Chris Allen credit where credit's due, and to wear the flip-flop mantle and all the above. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
He might be speaking to you. He might be coming.
Good. 462, motion.
That's going to bookend my time here. I'll move it.
I will make that second.
Discussion. So one thing that came up in caucus that was a line of sight that I hadn't looked at is a concern I have in regards to the possibility, for example, of this resolution, even though I think it's done, it's made leaps and bounds and moving forward, which I commend you for, Legislator Enner, as well as Council Gordon, for your expert opinion on this. My one concern is that I feel like it possibly unconstitutionally and possibly in terms of fairness would bind a sitting elected official to take a position that they have not clearly, that they have clearly opposed or been in favor of. For example, if, you know, County Executive A ran on a platform of supporting a development, that and won that election single-handedly on their support of that development or project in the county, a simple complaint could possibly bind that sitting duly elected county executive into speaking against something they promised to deliver to the residents of the county that elected them, which to me I don't think is fair to the voters, and I think poses some constitutional questions in terms of their freedom of speech and their right to assert their own positions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at right now. Chair Bletos?
Yeah, in caucus, I know I was the person that raised that. So much of the discussion from the executive side of the House had to do with liability and enforceability. Those are things that, while they're important, that's not where my weight is in my concern right now. My concern has to do with the requirement, and I'm really concerned about how it relates to the executive office, but also to the legislature, and that the requirement, I know the word zealously was removed, but advocating for policies, and again, you stated it well, I haven't gotten any level of comfort in terms of what happens if you can't advocate, or what happens if you don't. We pass this law, and we pass it as policy, and then you have a duly elected person advocating in opposition of what the law says they have to advocate for, potentially. And it's kind of like, well, then the law doesn't contemplate what to do about it. But again, it just concerns me. I actually like, and I know some people have been critical, I like the idea of where this proposed law is pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. I like the sort of environmental version of Citizen United, which I don't like, but I like that personhood of the river and the interface with the Green Amendment and that was recently passed, and how that hasn't really been tested yet. But this requirement to advocate, shall be the policy to promote and advocate, is something that I don't feel comfortable with. So to the extent that it'll be continued or taken up next year, if it doesn't move today, I hope that that's something that'll be looked at by the next body.
Thank you. Anyone else? Legislator Ernest?
All right, so thank you. I think the advocacy concern, we can ask, is there anything that we would implement as a policy for the executive to advocate? Can we contemplate that whatsoever? I suppose if not, then fine, this goes out as an option. But if there is something, then I would submit that protecting the river is one of those things. So I guess that's the question around that. As far as...
Do you want to speak directly to that?
I can't remember a time when, I mean, we've urged, the executive to advocate for things, but I don't think that we could require her to order a
memorializing function. Resolution.
And the legislature advocates itself, aside from the executive. So I don't remember a time. I'm sure that I could contemplate a time when we'd like the executive to advocate for something. But I don't think that we can order him or her to advocate, and I don't think that they would have to comply if we did.
Yeah, that's
one thing about that. The last thing the minority leader said is true. We could not force her to comply, and I don't think anybody would try, and I don't think it would be successful, and it's not really a thing, actually. I mean, Clint in his memo mentioned mandamus, which is when you sue to force public official to do a mandatory duty. That's why it's called mandamus, but it's got to be a very, very clear mandatory duty. You must, EPA must promulgate regulations on this sort of facility by this state. And that's what, that's the sort of thing they can get enforced. On the first, what was your first point again? I wanted to mention
that. I said that we could encourage advocacy, but I don't think
The one thing I would just throw out there again is that this is a constitutional duty, and we have the Green Amendment, which is, you know, it's kind of very broadly written and starting to be implemented. But so the Green Amendment does place policy-wise a requirement to keep the environment healthy. And also, the first case under the Green Amendment did allow, you know, it did specify that local governments and the state government had to implement it. They couldn't just sit on their hands. And that's the case was actually a question of a big landfill upstate that what DEC was not fully enforcing against. And the court, again, this is up on appeal, but the court said that they had to do it. So this is a way of basically nudging the administration in this direction as a practical matter. And I would suggest interpreting it that way, but obviously it's a step in a different direction, and it's trying to align with the ideals of the Green Amendment, and people can come down whatever they do.
And I'll let you go next. I just want to quickly say, you know, I appreciate, I think, similar to the point the chair was making, where this pushes the envelope in terms of the Green Amendment and so on, and I totally appreciate that, but I still get held up, and I know you say that we can't, but the language within the context of this local law clearly states, and word for word says, we are that an executive or potentially could be a comptroller or whatnot would have to be forced to take a public-facing position on an issue, which, of course, obviously, you know, in terms of the county attorney and all that, there's an obligation to protect the best interests of the county and so on. But in terms of taking a public-facing position, there could be a situation where an duly elected official has to take a public-facing position outside of the advice of their counsel, county attorney, which, you know, creates another potential conflict. So that's, you know, my hang up. But my also appreciation for where this piece has gotten to on this at this point. Deuteron.
So Council Gordon, I guess one of my questions to you on the implications of the Green Amendment and requirements of enforcing it, are you insinuating that local governments are required to enforce the Green Amendment where the state fails? Because I believe that this is looking to me, this law looks to have the county enforce rights of the river where the state has failed to do so, and the state would have as a multi-county waterway, probably 15 counties.
Closer to 10.
Yeah, but, from the mouth, really? I think it was more than that. But regardless, you know, there's two on each side, you know.
Fair enough.
But regardless, it would seem to me that it would be the state's responsibility to enforce the Green Amendment when it comes to that, not the county's.
Here's what I would suggest to you on that. The basic method of enforcement here that we'd be asking the counties to do if the state were dropping the ball, and the state in some cases is dropping the ball, and we've identified some of those issues, or in the case of EPA, they're just sort of asking the question,
yep.
Is advocacy. It's not necessarily, you know, suing. As I said, I want to point this out because Legislative Gavaris asked this question a couple of weeks ago. The word for bringing litigation is may, so it's completely discretionary. But the word for advocacy shall, and that's what we'd be asking the county executives to do is to advocate. So it's a much lower impact type of basically to write a letter instead of filing a lawsuit. So it's a much lower impact that we'd be asking the county to pick up on. I'd also point out, just for whatever, you know, the county attorney did write an evaluation of the law, and these particular concerns he didn't mention the concern about advocacy and the constitutionality. The constitutional issue was not brought up.
Yeah, I mean, to me, we already have the ability to advocate for the river, and at which point we've done when we, you know, supported decommissioning of Indian Point, and we opposed the anchorages on the river, and we opposed the oil on the trains, and we opposed the oil on the barges. I was famously quoted in the paper as asking what black magic we were going to, you know, have the oil transported with, if we were against trains and trucks and boats and, pipelines. That was right, the pipeline too. You know, we advocated against the transmission lines going across the river. We had, so we're not, we don't have a lack of advocacy around here for the river. You know, so if advocacy is the biggest part of it, which I don't, I'm not sure that it is. It may be to some, but then it's 16 pages declaring that we can do what we already do, and we have done over and over and over and over and over again in my 16 years.
Well, it also mentions two specific policy areas that I don't think we have done that I think need that need attention.
I'm going to ask Phil, did you have anything else you wanted to add, or did Council Gordon cover?
I mean, I will have more things to say, but I don't have to go right next. I wasn't raising my hand. Thank you.
Chair Bartels?
Yeah, I am concerned about the precedent of legislating advocates. Like, I think that it is a notable thing, and it's surprising to me that the county attorney didn't weigh in, because I feel like they were focused on the other things that they were more concerned about, which, based on that memo, seem to have to do with, as I said before, liability, enforceability, all those kinds of, all the other things they touched on. But this, the idea that advocacy wasn't in their memo as a prime point doesn't mean to me that advocacy isn't a problem. And I, you know, I agree with the minority leader that we can advocate, we don't need to legislate advocacy, but I definitely am concerned about the slope of legislating advocacy. Because what does it mean if then a sitting executive or a member in violation of this legislation doesn't advocate?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, we can't, you know, force the comptroller to publicly argue that 2 + 2 = 5.
I would just suggest this is a funny point.
You know, we could, but then it would be, at least it would just be memorializing, you know, books would still be good.
If the county executive failed to do something that, for instance, the legislature thought was important, it would lead to two possible actions by the legislature. One is to do it itself. At some point, the county executive isn't saying the things that we think need to be said. We can go ahead and draft a memorializing resolution and basically do the same thing and send it off to DEC or EPA, right? The second is that it starts a conversation. The county executive doesn't think something is worthwhile or necessary, or in the case of the chair, what the chair mentioned was they actually advocated a different approach when they were running for office with this local law in place, by the way, which would have defined her responsibilities. But in that case, at that point, we have a conversation, a public conversation about whether or not her actions are appropriate under the law. And I don't think that either of those results is necessarily a bad one in terms of the way the conversation should go forward.
I agree with that in terms of the way the results, the way a conversation would go, but you're acting as if there's no weight to a law legislating advocacy, which I'm saying actually is something that should, that we have to pay attention to. Like, this is legislating advocacy, and your answer is, okay, it's legislating advocacy, but if she doesn't do it, then there'll be a conversation. There's no, like, no harm, no foul, nothing will come of it, but it's like, it's a law that says she has to advocate, and not only that, that every member has to advocate, and as the example that the majority leader used, yes, it shall be the policy of the Ulster County to support, promote demand.
Policy, yeah.
So to the extent, and it's more extreme because the exec is a sole office holder, we can read Ulster County as a collective policy, but I can't square having legislating advocacy and then pretending that there's no consequence of going against our own law.
Like, I think there is consequence. I just don't think that it's legal and you can haul her into court for mandamus. I think that you stand up there and you say you're violating county policy, and that's the way the public conversation goes. It does provide something stronger than not doing it. You stand and say the previous legislature voted on this. Our legislature believes in it. You're not doing your job.
But you could do that even if it didn't, even if this didn't mandate advocacy. This is the first time I've ever seen mandating advocacy. We have, when we pass local laws, it's required that we uphold them. So if we had a local law and the exec was going total contravention of the local law, we could say you're totally contravening and is violating our local policy. But on top of that, we're saying you have to advocate, like, so, in a law. That's my
yeah.
hang up here.
So I'm gonna recommend to the committee that we take no action, but I want to give Legislator Erner time to make any final thoughts he has.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I regret that we've gotten to this point. I think we've lost sight of what our constituents, at least the constituents who I've worked with on this, have been asking us to do. Are the people of Ulster County who have this concern are frustrated that precisely that the federal and state government have not, in their view, done enough to protect, for example, the Hudson River. And I mean, to the minority leader's point, it is much more than about advocacy, absolutely. The original form of the law that we had specifically says we recognize that the river has these rights and you can sue to protect them, either a person of the county or the county government, and damages awarded should go directly back to restoring the damage to the harm that was done. That was the original language. And, you know, we rewrote it based on council's opinion that wouldn't really have squared with state law in various ways. But what could we do then? This is an attempt at that. The idea here was that instead this would help to direct the county executive and the administration on the whole how to achieve those goals that I just mentioned. And in a way, it was, along with the Green Amendment, it was meant to be proactive, to preempt. Like, what we're seeing coming down the line is that local governments will have some responsibility to protect the environment more than we did 2 years ago. So this was a stab at, for this particular aspect of the environment of Ulster County, that to be sure we share with Dutchess County and Albany and Columbia and Green and all the counties up and down the river from the mouth to the sea, that but we address that in the law too. We urge these other municipalities to work with us. And again, that's not anything we can require. So in that sense, that is memorializing. As far as I want to thank Legislator Gavaris for bringing your concerns, and then I see what the executive would have wanted to do in terms of striking anti-degradation, which council says wouldn't have legal impact. But striking the part where, I mean, technically, residents can sue anyway. The county could sue anyway, and item C under Section 7 was just reminding the people of that, essentially. But to eliminate the portion that mentions the residents on their own behalf or that of the river does eliminate that sense that the originators had wanted us to have in there. They wanted us to say, yeah, the people should be able to bring their concerns directly to us and or to a court. And then the other section that the administration has asked be struck, and according to council, we couldn't even do this at this session coming up. We would need time to notice these substantial changes. But the damages not going into the fund also, I think, would be a non-starter for those constituents. They want, if the county or anyone collected funds based on damage done to the river, that should go back to restoring the river. So I appreciate the committee chair's recommendation of no action here. Clearly, we're not of a mind. And let's try again.
Thank you. Anyone else? With that, is everyone good with no action? All right, moving on to number 672. Motion?
I'll move it.
Take a second.
Make it stop.
discussion. Let's sit down.
Okay. Thank you. So, the first part here. There's two parts, obviously. There's this preamble part, and there's the part about geographical diversity. So why don't I can I ask the committee's opinion? Is there anything in the preamble that you liked? Is there anything that you would put instead? Do you like the idea of a preamble in general?
I mean, no, I'm not a preamble person, but
neither.
Chair Bartels, Leader Ronk, and then Legislator. Did you ever end up?
You said what I was going to say. Yeah.
I embrace the idea of a preamble a little bit, and I really like some of the aspirational aspects. Like, these resonate with me personally, some of these bullets, many of them. But I do think, because it would be the preamble of the charter, it definitely needs some real working and consensus, not just in one committee of five, but in the body as a whole, and probably some feedback from the public. That would be my thought in terms of really getting out there with preamble idea. The other thing I would say is just that, to the extent that it's a living document, I guess it makes sense you could have a preamble at any time, but probably the time to have a preamble is like in the original crafting. But again, I think this would be something to kind of take on the road, in my idea, just to get real broad feedback from the public.
Legislator Gavars.
Actually, mine's about the second part, so not the preamble.
I've got some comments on that.
Three and four.
Well, about the geographic diversity.
Yeah.
All right, so on this, no action?
No, it's all one resolution.
Well,
so.
So Gavars says something.
I mean, you can speak now. There's no one else after.
Well, it actually goes to, in this, it references the other
division,
so it's more about, it'll actually be under the other 760 or 771, 760, yeah.
For the charter?
Yeah.
For the charter.
So with this one.
I mean, I just want to say I love the diversity on boards, but we tried to work on it in the committee, and I believe that former Legislator Tantillo is here to talk about that part, either in here or tonight, and disagreeing with how we crafted it. I think that all appointments collectively, including representation from all geographic areas of the county, is great. I don't know how we do that even with the way we passed it. Legislator, it's been a big concern of mine, representing the second farthest district from the county. I think Craig's district is the farthest from the county seat, when you go out in Greenfield Park, out in that area. But, right now, I mean, the IDA board, I believe the IDA enabling legislation talks about diversity of geographic diversity on it. We've got three members of the seven-member IDA board are from the town of Rochester, so you've got 4% of the population of the county having 40% of the IDA board, and this legislature did it just without question, without thinking about it. I think that we care about it, but we don't actually put it into action. We have the ability to do this ourselves, we just don't.
You reference what's coming up. Like, I don't think this exactly comports with what comes up, because it doesn't use the terminology that we propose in forthcoming resolution. So the fact that all appointments shall collectively include representation from all geographic areas. And I have an old one. Oh.
It was revised.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, that's like, wow, that would be really tough. But, okay, so switch. Thank you. Then I would say I would agree that it's just very challenging on some of these commissions. I wouldn't agree with the minority leader saying that in terms of the IDA that the legislature just didn't care because there was a discussion about geographic diversity, and I definitely, also being from the South and representing Shawangunk as well. I care, but we don't always get a broad spectrum, and sometimes we don't even have many for certain boards. Not the idea.
So many people that apply
for certain boards, we barely get applications. So I just don't know how we functionally make this happen. But again, with the preamble part, I feel like this is going to have to
Wrong thing.
Thanks. I mean, just because this is being recorded, not that it has exactly to do with this resolution, but the IDA board, there were like 20 people that applied from all over the county, and the legislature made the conscious decision to appoint the 7 people they wanted, including 3 people from the town of Rochester. So to say that the legislature, you know, that, you know, it wasn't due to, like, not caring about geographic diversity, you didn't. You just appointed the 7 people you want.
I would say that let's move on from the IDA debate, but I will say a lot of thought went into that.
I know. You got the people you want.
We didn't think about it, but we did think. We talked about it. Legislator, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I see the preamble wouldn't advance, and this, so the new version here where we say such both legislative and executive reporting committees, such appointments shall collectively include representation from geographically diverse areas of the county where practical pursuant to Charter Section C6 definitions. I would just recommend to the future committee and the future legislature that to legislate in this area once a definition of geographic diversity is agreed upon.
Sounds good. I recommend the committee. We take no action. That's okay. Resolution 760. Motion?
I'll move it. Second.
Discussion? Legislator Gavaris.
Yeah, it's formally supposed to Phil points out the definition. Actually, there is problems with it. When she showed me an actual colored map, it actually points it out, illustrates it a little better. I don't know how we amend if it's even possible, the language. It's too late to do that.
I would recommend no such amendment for right now, but it's something that could potentially be looked at.
Next.
All right, we need to put it on.
We're on 760.
Yeah.
I just want to express appreciation for the change that were made that have to do with residency. I want to also just note that I obviously need to take some firm lessons because I don't understand the procedure that happened here. I don't understand how the residency requirements made it into the draft. I don't understand how it's modified to be a one-year hiatus. I don't understand how it's moved since this body hasn't met. So I have concerns about the process. I greatly appreciate the change, but I don't understand how we got what we got. Thank you.
Anyone else?
You got any answers for that, Mr. Chair?
I mean, everyone here has been in every discussion I've been on this, whether it's attending the actual revision commission meetings, whether it was the 6 hours of special meetings this committee had.
Almost everybody.
That you were aware of, but you felt confident about.
I mean, if I could just make a comment, I mean, it was me who brought that up in the first place, the residency requirement. I still believe in it. I'm frustrated that we're taking it out, and I think that the threats of lawsuits and the speaking in public comment as if it's, you know, going to be the end of the comptroller's office, I feel pretty strongly that the legislature was manhandled into changing this, and that's fine and dandy, you know, in a couple weeks it'll be somebody else's ballywick, not mine. You know, but I do plan to, as a member of the public and the town supervisor, come back to this body and encourage them to create a residency requirement for every position in the county that makes over $100,000. Because I think that if you are receiving $100,000 or more in taxpayer funds in the county of Ulster, you should be living in the county of Ulster. It shouldn't be that you're taking that money and spending it elsewhere. It's just not right.
Legislator Gavaris.
I agree. Actually, for that before, I think my salaries should be residency requirements. Would be great.
Especially if I could just add, deputy county executives, comptroller, deputy comptroller, there are wide-ranging policy influences that influence the residents of Ulster County. And to not have those people subject to the same policies that they're having great influence over is just not It's just not fair. It's not just the money. It's also the influence on everybody's everyday life.
Anyone else? Mr. Roberts?
Yeah, I want to thank the controller for bringing up her points. I personally don't care where people live. I don't care where Alicia lives. I don't care where Clint lives. To me, it doesn't matter. We all got jobs to do, no matter where we live. We're getting paid to do the job. I think what the controller was saying about the last public hearing, there was an outcry of certain things that need to be changed, amended, and they were changed and amended, but we didn't meet to make those changes. They were, I guess, done by attorneys and stuff like that. That's, I think, what your point is. Am I correct? I did receive this, I believe it was 7 days ago, by the, I guess we're following the new legal definition of when we can amend a local law. We didn't actually receive it on that 7th day. We received it the day after, I guess it was put on our desk before midnight. Looked it over briefly. I didn't get a chance to look over this local law. Usually we have at least a month or so to do it. I told the Chair Bartower that I wouldn't make a big stink about the timing and stuff. But we'll be voting no on this, and somebody brings up an amendment or motion to postpone, I will vote no on that or yes on that.
Just to the how we got here point, I think that there were a lot of changes in 6 hours, and there was a lot of discussions that led to them. I think that if you check the audio from the meeting, that the local law ended up as the committee required, and the Chair Bartels and I have had conversations about it. Since then, with our recollections of how votes went, she adopted a couple of times my phrase that it's not my hill to die on. I think that this was one of the ones that she said that about because this was important to me. That's my recollection. But regardless, it is what it is. We're changing it back anyway.
Again, I want to take the time to thank the members. My appointees, Leader Ronk's appointees, the executive's appointees, as the chair of that commission said in her letter, they more than outdid themselves in their task of making recommendations to this body. I think we're adopting at this point with the striking of those residency requirements that was spoken about, we're adopting close to 98% of what the commission has brought forward, and we're doing our role as legislators to enact a very minimal amount of change. I didn't go back and look 10 years ago how much they changed versus what was recommended by the commission. I wasn't here and looked the past through the past, but I think this has been a good practice, and hopefully 10 years from now, it'll be an even better process. So with that, all those in favor?
Oh, this is to the...
For the 760?
Are we moving it?
Yeah.
Should we consider breaking the definition of geographic diversity so you can come up with one that works better? And you could amend it next year. You've often amended local laws after they've been passed.
I would recommend when the legislature comes up with a definition of geographical diversity that beats this definition, then they can look at making a change, but I wouldn't make up a definition right now on the whim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to, Colin's point, I'd personally rather leave this in here because to me, this it's a start to me. I mean, the legislature's proven that they'll do whatever they want anyway. The IDA board is the prime example, but there's plenty of examples of boards that are only have people from the city of Kingston on them. The first time I can remember in a very long time we had somebody from Shangum on a major board is the other than the planning board's required to have one on is right now with the RRA board, and they liked my appointment so much to the RRA board that they made him chairman immediately after being appointed. folks in Shawgum rise to the top right away. But, other than that, it's, predominantly the greater Kingston area and the anomaly of the town of Rochester, which apparently has all the talent in the county.
So with that, I'll move the question on 7-6
to Thursday.
Yeah. Well, no, once it's adopted.
What?
That's the notes I have. Yeah, once it's adopted.
No.
It literally
move
says
it doesn't to be moved for final consideration.
Adopted to be moved for. Can I get a motion to consider 760 to be adopted to be moved for final adoption at special session on December 21st, 2023?
I'm glad to make that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Passes unanimous. Passes. 5-1. 761.
You want to rock and roll it? I'll be a no.
Only if we can pull air in an
option.
Can I get a second?
I'll make that second.
Discussion on 761.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned in my comments that there were some typos in that still haven't been corrected. Section 1, Article 2, the very first section you're changing. C11A, the Ulster County Charter, shall be repealed in the new section C11. Shall be added, that should be a new section C11H is being added. In Section 2, Paragraph C, Title 8, Section 53 of the Ulster County Charter is repealed in a new paragraph. C of Section 53 is being added, but underneath it here, what the language is checked from Section C, but what it says is A, that first A needs to be a C. It's followed by B, which in theory should be a D, but I don't know why that's there. There are no changes in Section B. I think that entire thing needs to be corrected, but like I say, you have several typos in that one too that haven't been corrected yet.
Councilor Yoshi?
Those changes have already been made by the clerk.
Okay, well, they're not. They're not published anymore.
They're still wrong in our packet.
Right, but she made it. I'm just letting you know that they've been made.
And Section D was removed?
Correct.
Becker.
Anyone else? Do you want to vote quick on this?
No. I want to just confirm that. Okay. We should have a copy in here, this room.
Yeah, let's pause for a moment.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be enough. There's no changes.
Yeah.
They're pretty much typos.
Yeah, they're typos. They can be fixed.
Yeah.
And I should.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's good.
I think you're good. You're all caught up. So those two you voted on.
No.
It's really good.
Could you go and talk to Vicki about these real quick? Mr. Chairman, I motion we table this and then move on to other business and then come back to us.
We'll just.
Anybody got a vote to take off
the table?
No. Oh, Kevin likes.
Yeah, I feel like that's
right. All right, fine. We'll just move
mine.
Yeah. You
so for now,
to
I'm
going to
ask a motion to discuss 762.
I will make the second on that.
You'll make the motion. Gravalis makes the second discussion. Again, this will be to be adopted, to be moved for final adoption at special session on December 21st of 2022.
Can I just make comments? I know that there's been discussions by the county executive. With the county attorney's office and legislative council, minority council, about the amendment that Legislator Litz had proposed on short-term rentals, stating that it's going to be fixed with a chapter amendment in the new year. You know, I guess because of negotiations that had nothing to do with the legislature, that were with the sponsor of the bill and the state legislature and the county executive. I want to say I feel pretty strongly that the legislature should move forward on what Legislator List will be, you know, making. Again, it's also a Legislator Roberts amendment that's been on our desks for 7 days or six and a half, however you look at it.
Not including Sunday.
Not including Sunday.
Voting days.
You know, the chapter amendment process is, you know, is great, but it's not what it's not a, you know, rub a genie's lamp and it happens, or, you know, wiggle your nose, or, you know, or whatever. It has to be passed by the state legislature. We all know that those things don't happen fast. I'd prefer to adopt our local law the way the state law is written now. And then if they want to do a chapter amendment and actually go through the process, complete it, get signed in to law, then I believe that the next legislature could very easily, amend our local law to conform with it, not the other way around, not amend it as of, you know, what we expect is going to be adopted by the state legislature and signed by the governor.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you. As you know, Mr. Chairman, that we had this put on our desk about a month ago with no real discussion, except in, you know, the imaginary mind of the Democratic caucus. We've been talking about it for a year. But, you know, we like to talk about things in real time, not 8-9 months ago. We got a couple amendments that we had to rush through with a new imposed 7-day deadline. We had to change meetings around. I'd like to make a motion to postpone 762 to the new year.
I'll second that.
You know how I feel? I believe
we do.
But I'll just speak to the fact that I don't believe we should postpone this. I believe we should move forward at the 4% rate. You know, I think, you know, you can speak about the imaginary reality of the Democratic caucus, but this is a conversation longer than a year that's been happening. It's been multiple years, at least an hour of multiple hour caucuses, okay, where we discuss policy issues.
And you guys talk about tax, raising taxes all the time.
So I think this is the ample opportunity to request an additional tax for people from outside the county, so we don't like end up like the Republicans in Dutchess County, who not only raised the hotel tax 1%, but the Republicans also raised the sales tax nearly 1% to cover their tens of thousands of dollar raise for Republican elected officials.
The Democrats are getting raised too.
But yeah, they voted no against it, but
of course they voted no against it. We know how it works.
But that single just 3/4 sales tax is going to be $10 million out of the pocket of Dutchess County residents. I think this is a smart way forward for us to make, because for a lot of the projects, you know, we're not going to have to offer money. So, you know, I saw the list that legislators brought forward. I saw your list, Legislator Roberts. I saw, you know, Legislator Stewart's list, Legislator Corcoran, Legislator Sperry's list. You know, we're not going to have that opportunity. A lot of our communities got a good chunk of change, but if we want to keep doing the work we are and supporting our communities, we're going to have to find revenue somewhere. We've gone almost a decade without raising property taxes on a resident, so I'd much rather raise the occupancy tax 1% on outside residents and force it on the residents of Ulster County in lieu of, you know, the property taxes and whatnot, and especially rather than cutting services that people rely on. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to, you know, at this time thank the Dutchess County government for chopping our legs off over here, but Republican caucus in Ulster County standing strong by their values. We haven't given ourselves a big raise like our colleagues over there. Thank you for pointing that out.
The big raise is reduced, by the way.
I wouldn't mind being a legislator over there right about now. But, you know, as you're talking about my list and stuff like that, you know, the list down here in Flatico is very short. But if you're a Kingston legislator, you get brand new sidewalks and stuff like that. And down here in Platico, we got to walk on old blacktop that the Ulster County snowplows destroy and not take, we want to call it, any kind of credit for their damage. But again, I'm going to vote yes on the postponement.
I just want to say to the majority leader's comments that a member of the Democratic caucus in the budget this year suggested a 400% raise for county legislators right here in Ulster County. So I want to point that out.
I think a great number of the Democratic legislators voted yes.
Be that as it may. I do think that this is rushed. I said quite a few words about that at our the November meeting.
Sandbag.
We were a sandbag, but it's fine. It's the way it works when you've got a supermajority and you crush the minority. That's fine. It happens. But one thing I said was that there was no option for public comment because nobody knew about it before the meeting. And legislator after legislator from the Democratic caucus kept getting up and saying, well, we knew this was coming anyway, and this is just a formality, and then we actually had people come and talk about it and speak in our public hearing about it. And, again, I agree with Legislator Roberts. I think that this deserves more discussion with the public, with stakeholders, and that can happen in the new year. And, all we're hearing is, well, it's going to cost us X number of dollars. And, it is going to cost us. But we could have done this earlier, and we could have had all the stakeholders in, but that's not what we wanted. We wanted to be able to push this through and ignore the stakeholders and just pass what we wanted. And that's what's going to happen. I have no doubt.
Just a question through the chair to Leader Ronk, to Legislator Ronk. In regards to we could have done the comment if we could have done this earlier, were we not at the mercy of the governor signing this bill?
We were not. An attorney can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure we could have passed this in August if we knew, as was said, the governor was going to sign the bill because it was adopted by the state legislature, the Home Rule Bill. We were just waiting for the governor's signature. I don't think that we have to pass our local law after the governor signs it. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but so far nobody has. And any idea, Chris?
I wouldn't feel comfortable. I think it's much more prudent to wait till the governor executes something instead of jumping the gun.
He didn't say no. That was lawyer talk for.
I would add to that point that I think in my almost exactly 8 years that I don't think I've ever been lobbied. I'm going to say I don't think I've been advocated on an issue more fiercely from those opposed to individuals opposed and impacted by an action by this legislator. More so, the only time I ever can say I've been more advocated on was the feral cat issue. That was the feral cat.
Gail Mahochka.
It's the only time I spent more time on the phone and in person with emails with individuals than their specific issues, especially over the last year and a half. They have presented multiple times in public forums. So to say that they haven't had a platform is just not true.
Platform 8 months ago is not the same as a platform today.
It hasn't really changed.
A platform when we're contemplating a law is not the same as a platform when we're adopting a law.
I would assume that the seriousness and legislative intent is pretty obvious when we send a request to the governor and the legislature. I would say that means the legislature is intent in moving something forward. I would say common sense would prevail on that one. Chair Bartels?
Yeah, I would reflect that this is a conversation that definitely, since my return to the legislature, we've been having pretty much every term since my return to the legislature. I really appreciate the reflection on the feral cat issue because I totally had forgotten it, and I got a whole bunch of books and thought about making a documentary just because of the passion on both sides.
You're forgetting about the rails versus rails.
Maybe,
come on.
Maybe I'll pick that up.
That was just before my time.
I just want to reflect, just the importance of this and these revenues and just all the good programming that's going to come from these additional revenues and the fact that, largely these are taxes that are guests to the county are paying. So I feel really strongly about moving this today. It has been a conversation that we've discussed over the course of years in essentially the same two or four same language. So I'm ready to move it.
So, Legislator Gavaris, and just to remind folks, the question on the floor is a postponement.
Yeah, I was going to say call the question.
Okay. The question on the floor is what?
For a postponement.
To the
new legislation.
Yeah.
The postponement.
Yeah, made by Vice Chair Roberts, seconded by Vice Chair Ron. All those in favor of postponement? Those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Postponement fails.
Can I get a long roll? I can't see that.
4-2 on party lines. So discussion is back to the resolution. I've legislated on it, and let's lead around.
I can go after the committee member.
No, please. I've spoken a lot on this.
Okay. Two clarification questions. Are we not currently collecting short-term rental occupancy tax despite the absence of such language in the current code? That's the first question. And then the second question is, okay, and the answer is sort of, or yes.
We're fine-tuning our collection process.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
We have a policy where the hard part is tracking down those trying to circumvent. Someone circumvents the law, they circumvent the law. You're required to register and remit.
Okay.
And that was part of the 51,000 amendment. Stuart and I put forward for Granicus.
With
11 towns currently in the housing program with the county, and then allows for 5 additional municipalities should they get it together enough to join that program. They'll be able to be added. That will allow them to specifically have their own accounts and specifically set up their data and their dashboard for better enforcement for their town's needs, because obviously Woodstock's different than Kingston and vice versa. And you had another question?
Yes. The other clarification, this the chart that's in bold, what do we do right now?
Are you looking at one of the amendments? Not the...
Yep. Okay. Where 40, 60, 60, 40, all that, do we have in force at present a chart?
That's the chart, minus the
40% current carve out for all inclusives.
Oh, because he wasn't here for the...
For what all inclusives collected, I don't have that specific data. Our county tourism lists 6 all inclusives in the county. We've heard from 2 most recently. I don't know for a fact which of all 6 of those. I know, for example, like on Mohonk, you can actually, the way the current recommendation from the comptroller, you can go on Mohonk, and if you choose a queen size room, which is the lowest rated room, which is like $300 to $400 to $500, depending on the season. If you choose 3 meals, it's all inclusive, and you can see when you go to check out, it gives you that 40% carve out. But if you deselect the 3 meals and go to only 2 meals, it then, because they're no longer considered all inclusive, they now you see your ticket revert to the 2%.
Okay.
So yeah.
And with this, besides this 20%, 80% amendment to that.
But the amendment goes back, requests to go back to the formula, how we did it based in 91.
The amendment merely puts 60 to, changes 60, 40 to 80, 20.
Yeah.
That's what the amendment does.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
This is on the resolution.
On the resolution, yes. All those in favor? Aye.
And you read
Oh, all those in favor to be adopted, to be moved to the final adoption of special session on December 21st, 2023?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Are you a no or a yes?
Yeah, I'm going to be a no.
Okay, so passes 4-2. Can we go back to 760?
I'm going to take it off the table, if that's what we did.
Yeah, sorry, 761. Did we satisfy our letter dilemma?
It appears so because the objector has just left.
Okay, so I'm going to ask to call a vote on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Passes unanimously. Resolution 7063, motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? Legislator Gavaz? Any questions, comments, or concerns? Or did you want to do
something? No, Legislator Robertson and I are already late. That was my motion. Sorry. That's what my hand gesture meant.
Yeah. I'll second it. Are you in the chamber?
Again?
Is that a public hearing for the new legislature?
Yeah, that's what was going to be my question.
That seems awfully out of practice.
The clerk, Clerk Fabella is the one who recommended this to pass.
I'm going to vote no because I don't think we can, but.
Clerk Fabella says we can. I'm okay.
Why not? We want to bring the clerk in?
Yeah.
Council, do you have any opinions?
I don't see any objection to setting a public hearing.
Nick?
I don't see a concern, honestly, with setting a public hearing. That's all we're doing.
Okay. I'll miss W. No.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Robert's
really left you on that one.
That's all right. We're wrong in almost this.
I got to stand up for the village.
And so that brings us to last but not least. Can I get a motion on 692?
I emphatically moved this.
So I just want to take a moment to thank you all for what I think was the finest run committee this term in the county legislature. I especially want to thank.
Modest too.
Especially want to thank. Would not have been possible without Deputy Chair Roberts and all of your fine cooperation. And I think we're excited, most of us now returning, to let you all call your organizational meeting of 2024.
May I?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, it's been an honor and a privilege serving with you, not only on this committee, but in this legislature. Of all of the people I've given a hard time to over the years, it's been my absolute pleasure to give you a hard time.
You've
been a pleasure to work with. We don't agree on a terrible lot, but as you and I have talked about privately in the past, you know, politics and government used to be a place where you could, you know, throw stones at each other in a meeting and then go across the street and break bread together and high five and shake and laugh, and we've been able to do that, so.
So that, all in favor?
Just a quick question.
Please.
I know I just in the just conversations with a few of the legislators-elect regarding the date for their orientation and/or training. This is the organizational meeting.
This is just the org meeting.
Right, I know.
But that's something you have to talk to the clerk about. Like, this committee wouldn't have any say over
it. Okay.
Right, okay. I didn't know. Yeah. The orientation for the executive's office? No,
that'll be up to leadership and the clerk's office.
New legislators in terms of changing it up so they don't only have to come for one day in January.
Yeah, that'll
I know
be,
that request has been made, but definitely it's not.
That'll be, we don't have authority with that.
I think that they're going to have to be set up before then.
I would recommend.
They're working on it,
So with that, I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Passes unanimously. Motion to adjourn.
No, you have a new business.
I appoint Kevin Robbins.
Back at your poll.
Are you already appointed?
Not yet.
I got three chances.
Oh, sorry. Discussion appointment to the Ulster County Fleet Management Review Committee. Pursuant to Resolution
673,
so far we have Senator Hewitt. The minority appointment is outstanding. Yeah, I was waiting to see what the committees did, because otherwise I was at point.
Maloney was in the environment. Public Works was lit. Ways and Means to choose tonight. I don't get an appointment, so I'm alive.
I move that this committee appoint Legislator Roberts.
I would like to maybe ask future Deputy Majority Leader Levine to take my appointment.
We'll let the future chair and committee of laws and rules.
I don't think we can.
It's not our appointments. I don't know. I'll let Molly. It's going to be Ken's appointment. Or it's going to be Kevin's appointment.
I'll withdraw my second.
Unless Ken appoints before the new year.
I'll take
it's
not our vote.
Yeah. We withdraw your second.
There's no vote.
All right. I'm motion for legislation.
There's no vote.
How do we fill the seat? I have 10. It's your appointment. How do we get the seat? This is the laws and rules committee appointment. We get an appointment? Yes. Oh, okay. Doesn't say that yet. Okay. Motion to appoint legislator Levine. Second. I mean, if you guys want to jump now, we can do it. I mean, it did in 10 seconds. Legislator Levine, are you interested in fulfilling?
If it is the will of the committee, I will not turn down the nomination.
Despite my concerns about geographical diversity, I will support this appointment.
Oh, okay.
Wholeheartedly. So all those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion to adjourn?
I think he's going to play. I'd like to just say a few words about you, John. It's been a pleasure to serve with you.
I could say that following what Leader Rock said, you give it as good as you take it with a smirk.
Thank you. So with that, thank you. We adjourn.
Thank you.